Praise the Lord. Well, for those of you that might not know, my name is Neil. I'm the worship minister here at the River Church. My wife and I were usually the ones doing the singing and playing. Sister Leia was so kind to come in and fill in for me today. That way, yeah, thank you so much. That way I don't have to do double duty today. Oh, praise God. Well, the title of our message today is Supplement Your Faith. Supplement Your Faith. It's a look into 2 Peter chapter 1. And so with this message, I was just sharing with Karen earlier this morning. The way it came about is beginning of the year, we just started seeking the Lord, CC and I. We started seeking the Lord for a direction, you know, a focal point for this year. Sherry shared with us a book on one word. And that's kind of, we kind of took that and we sought the Lord. And one of the things that we did unique on this one is that we sought the Lord separately. CC sought the Lord, I sought the Lord on our own. And then one day we kind of came together and we asked each other, what's the word, what's the one word that God has given you? And then we shared, and I'm going to share it a little later on in this message. But it just amazes me because it's two different words, but God had put both of us on the same track. So the message today is just, it's not an in-depth message. It's not anything like that. It's more an encouragement because this word has encouraged me this year. It's still a word that I'm still diving into and just chewing on and ruminating some more. But today I just wanted to kind of bring you guys in on what the Lord has been showing me. All right. So again, thank you all for coming today and spending your Sunday here. Thank you, online family, for being here, for joining us, whether it's live now or later on. But I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will just speak no matter when you listen to this message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, one, for this life that you have given us, this life of Christ that we have. God, that we can come to you for all of our needs. God, that when we need to be lifted up, we can turn our eyes to you. Lord, that when victories happen in our life, that we can celebrate with you. And God, when blessings come in, Lord, that we can lift up our hands and say, God, thank you. God, always position our heart in a place of gratitude. Position our heart in a place of growth where we want to know you more and more each and every day. To know you more, O Lord. So Holy Spirit, teach us today. Move through my words, Lord. Speak everything that needs to be spoken, Lord. And for those, Lord, that this word is prepared for, I pray, Father, that your Spirit will just penetrate their hearts today and to receive your Spirit, your word. So, Lord, we love you. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you ever get those moments when you do something that's out of character? It's a bit out of character, but in a good way. Out of character in a good way. Kind of surprise yourself. There's been moments in my life where I've definitely surprised myself and went, oh, that's not something I normally do. I mean, could be something as simple as volunteering for something. Something that you would normally not step into, but for whatever reason, you felt in your heart to say yes. And you said, okay, I'm going to volunteer for that. Or maybe, just like with Brother Ephraim this morning, you feel this tug that God is having you turn and go this way and do something. Something that's out of character, you wouldn't normally do it, but then you just realize, did I just hear the voice of the Lord? Did God just speak to me? And for me, I gotta tell you, it blesses me when those moments happen in my life because it's a mile marker. It's a place where I can look back to and see God's goodness and how he's moving in me, how he's changing me. So whenever that happens, that little nugget, when the Lord says, see, things are changing in your life. You are growing. we are getting closer. Our relationship is growing closer. Because sometimes you don't know. When we don't see the mile markers, it's hard to tell. Are we growing? Or am I being stagnant in my walk with the Lord? It's tough. So a few years back, Cece and I, and this was when we first started dating, we ran the Reno Tahoe Odyssey together. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It's a race that starts downtown in Reno, and it goes all the way to Tahoe and all the way back. So it's 178 miles. It's done with a team of 12, typically a team of 12. I've done it. We've done it once. I've thought about doing it again. I was telling my cousin, too, because we have one for the gym. We have a team for the gym, and she asked me, yeah, do you want to join? I don't know. I'll think about it. And I'll tell you why. I have a valid reason why this year on why I said, no, I want to give myself one more year before I get into that. But the reason I bring up the story is that during Cece's run, it was dark, late at night, and hey, this is a 24-hour race. So she's up there, she's in Tahoe, and it's dark, and she's running, and she's looking around. She's going, I don't see anybody else here. There's no other runners. No one's going by me. I don't see anyone ahead of me. And she started to panic a little bit because she wasn't seeing the mile markers. She wasn't seeing the signs that said, hey, you're going the right way. You're heading in the right direction. And it's tough. And when you don't know, and I'm sure you guys can all relate to this, when there's something ahead of you that you're unsure about, that you don't know, it's a little scary. It's a little anxiety-inducing. And she was sharing with me. She said, yeah, I was so worried. I started getting anxious, and I wanted to cry. And then all of a sudden, somebody came along beside her, and she said, am I going the right way? It's like, yeah, just keep going. Sometimes we just need the Holy Spirit to come alongside us and say, hey, you're going the right way. You're going the right way. All of this hard work, all of this effort that we're doing, it's not for nothing. We're growing in the Lord. And I want to encourage, because I needed that word in my heart. Because sometimes when you just go through work, you go to your day-to-day, you just keep doing and doing and doing, and you kind of start to doubt yourself. You start to think, but those refreshments, those nuggets from the Lord are just so helpful, so wonderful. And it goes to our main text for today. It says, for if these qualities are yours, and this is 2 Peter 1, 8 through 10, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this first section, it was already tugging on my heart. Okay, ineffective and unfruitful. Are those two adjectives that describes my walk with God at the moment? I have to reflect into the next part. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Wow. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Now, I want that. I want that. I want these qualities that the Apostle Peter's talking about. What can I add into my life? Because a lot of times, and I don't know about you guys, but sometimes in our walk with the Lord, when we stop and think, how do I grow in my relationship with God? Well, pray and read the Bible. Pray and read the Bible. Okay, but sometimes it's nice, once you actually do open up the Word and you start seeing that there's actually some practical teachings in there that gives you more than just an abstract, just pray to the Lord and you'll get closer. No, there's actually things that the Lord Jesus had spoken. There's things that God had wrote that spoke in the Word that says, do this, this, and this, because this will add to your faith. This will help you in your walk. But if we don't know, it's difficult. If you don't know what those things are, because sometimes, imagine, and this could be you today, imagine you've never opened the Bible ever before in your life. You've been introduced to Jesus, and now you're excited. And you have this big book, the Bible. But where do you begin? Right? It's sometimes so daunting to where you get a little paralyzed and you get a little intimidated. But here, Peter is giving us an encouragement of, okay, brothers, to strengthen your faith, add these qualities into your life. So back to my story on running just a moment ago. So this is the reason why I opted out this year. It's a valid reason, I'll tell you. You'll say, yeah, that makes sense. A year ago, see, not that I say this out loud, it was a year ago. So a year ago, I took a class at our gym on running. And I thought, you know, I enjoy running. It's something I like to do. I've ran with Walter a few times around here. So I went to the class and learned that I have spent my entire life running the wrong way. My running form is terrible. Absolutely terrible. So this is how you know that my running form is not good. So they did the initial test where they have you on camera and you have to run past the camera so they can evaluate your run. They do all that, which is great. So we all get back, the evaluation's over, and the video that pops up, it shows me. I'm like, oh, it's me. And I was the prime example of how not to run. It was great. It was in slow-mo and everything, and then you can just hear the coach. See, and right here is where his heel strikes. And right there's pain. Here. I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm sitting there listening to the coach like, you're right. I do feel pain everywhere. I feel all of that pain. And this was the method that we were taught, this pose, fall, pull. So in case you don't know, and I'm still new at this, so this probably looks terrible. So the pose, fall, pull method when you're running, it's basically, you know, you're running in place, right? You're doing this. So it's like the pose, right? Pose, you fall, you fall. You pose, fall, and then you pull your other leg up. So what it's supposed to do, it's when you're running, it takes, because what I was doing is I would stride really big and I'd land right on my heel, which I always wondered why I had lower back pain, why I had knee pain, because I genuinely enjoy running. I do. I enjoy running. It's therapeutic for me. It's something that I do. But I can't run anything past 3 miles. Things start to hurt. I did a half marathon once upon a time, and I haven't done it since. You know, we did Odyssey a long time ago. Haven't done it since. And I thought maybe it's just, I'm getting older, so maybe my joints and my back's not working as it should. But it's like, no, there's got to be something else. But see, when we're growing in our relationship with the Lord, when you have pastors say, hey, you know, just read your Bible and pray. You have people saying, hey, that's all you got to do. You're going to come to the Lord. But you still don't know. But there's actually things that we can add in. There's supplements that we can add into our life that because of the actions that we're taking, it elevates our faith. It brings us to a deeper level of trust in the Lord. But maybe you're thinking, well, I don't know if it's for me. I don't know if this word from Peter is for me. I don't know, because I've been so frustrated with my walk. It just seems like nothing's changing. My life situation hasn't changed. But I got to share this. Going back to verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I love this verse because, and this is a note in my ESV expository study. It says, while one might assume that the apostle had a special kind of faith that set them apart from ordinary believers, Peter insists that all Christians have a faith of equal standing. All believers stand on level ground at the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you today. You know, the apostle Peter, Paul, our spiritual forefathers, you know, even the pastors in our life, Pastor Rod, Pastor Angelo, you know, these men that we see, I tell you, as much as we want to believe that they have some kind of elevated, you know, apostle faith or pastor faith, that's not the case. At the foot of the cross, we all stand on equal ground. If it's possible for one human being, that means that God has made it possible for all of us, because he's opened every precious gift, and we'll see it in the next line. He's opened every precious gift. Everything concerning life, concerning godliness, is made available to us through Christ. There is no lack of resources. So I know it's frustrating to not know. It is. But I want to encourage you. God has made a way for us to know, for us to come and to grow further. So yes, the Apostle Peter, he equates the same faith that he had a couple millennia ago to our faith today, our faith in Jesus. But also, here's the other thing. If you are a follower of Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus, know this. This word, let me just go back one more time. This word is written directly to you. When I was reading this in preparation for the message, it just hit me out of nowhere. I'm sitting at Panera Bread and I'm trying to write, and I read this, and it really hit me that 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Peter was penning these words for the future Christian believers to encourage the brothers, to encourage the community, to encourage the body. This is a direct link from the Apostle Peter to us, because this is written for us. It's not an allegory, or there's nothing that we need to really create any kind of creative interpretation. As you're going to see in the next few verses, Peter is very direct. And for what? If this is for us, what is it for? Verse 2, may grace and peace, and we see it in Peter's blessing, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. All of this to know God more, to know him more. Another excerpt in my study book, my ESV expository, it says, while the word, speaking on knowledge, while the word translated knowledge in Greek can suggest a full or complete knowledge, here it may refer specifically to the knowledge that follows conversation. Peter ends the letter with a similar expression, showing that everything he writes promotes a deeper relational knowledge of God, which in this context refers to the Father and of Jesus our Lord. One cannot truly know the Father without knowing the Son. Because there's definitely a difference between me just knowing who somebody is and me knowing somebody and knowing their heart. The one person in my life that I know the best and who knows me the best is my wife, is Cece. We have this close relationship. There's situations that I could see and I could position myself in her mind thinking, okay, my wife would react this way because I know her so well, that she would want this, that she would want me to make this decision on this because I know her so well. And that's the level of knowing that God is bringing us to, a level of knowing where we know the Lord so well, we know the Lord Jesus Christ so well, that we don't even have to ask ourselves, oh, would Jesus do this? Or what would Jesus do? We wouldn't have to ask ourselves, because our relationship with Christ is so close that we instantly know, no, my Jesus would not step into this, so I won't. That's the level of closeness that God is inviting us to. J.I. Packer, in his book, Knowing God, I'm just going to read an excerpt from his book. What were we made for? To know God. What aim should we set ourselves in life? To know God. What is the eternal life that Jesus gives? Knowledge of God. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What is the best thing in life, bringing more joy, delight, and contentment than anything else? Knowledge of God. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That's in Jeremiah 9:23. What of all the states God ever sees man in gives him most pleasure? Knowledge of himself. I desire the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings, says God. In Hosea 6:6. And once you have become aware that the main business that you are here is to know God, most of life's problems fall into place of their own accord. So good. To know God more and more. Because faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. So to know the Lord more through the scripture, to know the Lord more through prayer, to get to know his heart. That's what God desires. That's the closeness that he desires for all of us. Amen. But again, do I have what it takes to do this? Maybe you're thinking here to yourself, I've just been so frustrated with my walk for so long, I don't know if I could come any closer to the Lord. Or maybe you're sitting here thinking, I don't know if I want to get closer to the Lord. I don't know what the consequences would be or the life change, because I don't know. But we see here in verse 3 and 4, you see, God had provided already everything that we need. Everything, just like what I mentioned earlier, all things have been given to us. All things have been opened to us. The knowledge of the Lord has been made available to us. That's why he no longer calls us servant, but friend, because we know the business of our God. I feel like I lost a verse. Hold on, let me see. I'm looking for 2 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4. There we go. Let's read this together. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Amen. Amen. Everything has been made available to us. I think I rearranged my notes and forgot how I rearranged them. I'm sorry. Could you go back to that picture with the dove in the Bible? There we go. I like this image. It's a clear picture of what we have today. Remember last week during our Easter service, we had that skit, Lance and with Lance, Dave, and Eric, which great job, by the way. I think I see Eric over there. Great job. You know, it was a great skit. It was talking about the verse that was used is about Lazarus and Lazarus, the rich man, and Jesus was telling the story that they were up there with Abraham. But we see even in Jesus' example in Luke 16:31. There we go. Because the rich man, this is a continuation of that story from last week. The rich man was telling Abraham, you know, I have brothers. If you could just go warn them, just tell them. And the response was this: if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Because a lot of times we try to look for signs. We try to look for some kind of physical manifestation, confirmation, something that God is real, that God is active and moving. But I tell you, all the evidence that we need, everything that is going to be made available has been already. If we're not going to listen to the Holy Spirit, if we're not going to dive into our word and get to know the Lord more, when we make it up to heaven, all of this, God will say, no, you've had the word, you've had the Holy Spirit, which is much more than what the folks in the Old Testament had. Much more. They had to wait on prophets to hear from the Lord before anything. Today, we are so blessed to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, that when we read scripture, you know, if you don't do this already, before you open your word, just say a little quick little prayer. Holy Spirit, teach me something today. Open my eyes, reveal something in your word. Even if it's just one verse, that one verse could give you all the life and the energy that you need to make it through your day. Let's see. Can we go to Philippians 4:13? There we go. And just as a reminder, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So this message from Peter, it's for us. He wrote this directly to us. It's an encouragement that he wants for us to hear. And yes, we have the capability, we have the grace given to us to see this to fruition. And then he says next, for this very reason, for all the reasons listed earlier, because God had invited us into his divine nature, that we, if we believe in him, if we confess Jesus is Lord with our mouth, that we will be saved, that we will be in life eternity with Christ himself. But for that basic foundation of faith, Peter says this, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. To supplement your faith. I was with my cousin a couple weeks back, and we were just catching up. And he works a graveyard shift, so he works a night shift. So it's for those of you that work night shift, you know how difficult it is. The challenges, the physical challenges, the mental challenges, and all that. And he was just sharing some things with me. And he said, you know, I went to the doctor recently, and my doctor said I am deficient in vitamin D. And I thought, well, you work at night, that makes sense. That absolutely makes sense. So, and I love that he told me this story, because I've always been a little concerned about his health, but he shared, you know, ever since then, I've made it a point to go outside to get some sunlight. I mean, yes, there's the challenge of working at night, and that's something that he's not able to change immediately or at the moment, you know. But what he can change is the extra effort outside of it, to go outside, to get some sun, possibly take some vitamin D supplements, to bring that in, to bring his base health back to where it should be. And this is the same principle for what God is showing us here. You know, sometimes just living isn't enough. We have to go out of our way to supplement our faith. Another excerpt from my study. As used here, this verb, the verb translated for supplement, means to provide at one's own expense. Pursuing growth in holiness requires an investment of our time, resources, and energy. It must not be approached casually, but requires Christians to make every effort to see these qualities produced in their lives. The expression communicates intentionality, passion, and diligence. One does not drift into greater measures of Christlikeness. Intentional, spirit-empowered effort must be exerted. We must be intentional with our faith, amen? So this goes back to the word that the Lord had shared to Cece and I, our word for the year. So when we sat down and we talked about it, I asked her, what word did God give you? And she said, well, God placed in my heart the word intention. Intention. I thought, wow, that's amazing. Because the word that God had placed in my heart is discipline. Discipline and intention. And this is where in seeking the Lord, I've just been asking, God, how can we be more intentional with our faith? Intentional with the way that we serve, the way that we love. But also, Lord, how can we be more disciplined in our faith? to do the spiritual disciplines that we ought to do, to spend some time in prayer, to spend moments reading the Word, you know, to spend time in fellowship, to go to church, to fellowship with your fellow Christians. Discipline and intention. Such a powerful word for the two of us, because as we're growing. But that's how God is directing for Cece and I, for me, that's how God has directed me in this word. God is telling me, Neil, you need to supplement your faith. You need to be disciplined with the things that you're going to add. That means consistently doing day by day. You know, growth doesn't just happen. It's saying yes to every single moment of every day. It's denying yourself, laying it all down at the cross every day. Some days it's easy to lay things down. Some days it's easy to say, okay, God, I surrender this, and I'm just... And other days, not so much. But that's why discipline, intention is the word that God spoke to us. And it's through that fervor of pushing through in our faith that we'll grow. So supplement your faith with virtue. So finally, we're getting to the qualities. So it's for us. This word is for us. We have everything that we need to make all of this happen. So the first quality that Peter adds on is virtue. Virtue. Supplement your faith with virtue. In other translations, in the Amplified, it says, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue. Excellence, resolution, Christian energy. I thought that was interesting. And this is in the classic, Amplified Classic. Christian energy. In the Message, it says, don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character. In the New English Translation, make every effort to add to your faith excellence. And in the NIV, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. So you can see a consistent theme in the translations. There's some translations that also says to add to your faith integrity. But all of these things, good character, faith, virtue, goodness, integrity. So these are the things that we need to add onto our faith. So we have our faith as the base level. And on top of that, Peter is saying here, now to your faith add virtue. But what does this look like? What's it look like? In James chapter 2, we know that verse. We've the last few Sundays, it's actually been mentioned a few times. But faith without works is dead. And it says, what good is it, my brothers? This one's not up there. But if someone says that he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So we see it in multiple places in the Bible. We have faith, yes, but because we have faith, we need to act. Now, can you act in goodness without having faith? Certainly, you can. But I don't think it's possible to be fully in the faith, to have such a close relationship with the Lord, and not feel that natural tendency to do good, and not feel some kind of pull in your spirit that where the Holy Spirit is saying, go into this place, or, you know, drive this way so that you can meet a need for this family, for this community. In the book of Daniel, this is a story where Daniel is warning Nebuchadnezzar. He's warning Nebuchadnezzar of the dream, and you can go back. It's in Daniel chapter 4 if you want to check out the story. But it's a little excerpt from there, verse 27. Therefore, O king, this is Daniel giving advice to King Nebuchadnezzar. Let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. So right there we can see doing good, adding virtue to our faith, means breaking off sin practices and taken on righteousness. It calls us to repentance, to turn around and change our ways. But sometimes goodness, virtue, good character can look like this. This story is in 1 Samuel 24. And this is when David was on the run from King Saul. King Saul wanted him dead. So King Saul was in the cave. He's sleeping. And here's David. And this is a good lesson that I've really taken to heart that the Lord showed me. So here's Saul. He's sleeping. And David's men are with him. And David's men are saying, "This is God's favor. This is God's hand. Now is the opportunity to strike this man down, to kill him, to kill Saul, to end all of this running. God has given you favor." But you know what I've learned in my life is not every open door is the Lord's. Not every single open door was made available by God himself. Because David could have looked at this and could have completely justified it and said, "Yes, this man has been trying to kill me for so long. Now is the moment God has given him into my hands." But no, David says, "I will not lay my finger on the Lord's anointed. I will not." Instead, he cuts a piece of his robe. And even cutting off a piece of his robe, the amount of guilt that he felt to seek the Lord afterwards was just immense. Just cutting off a piece of his robe. But he said, "King Saul, look, I could have taken your life, but I didn't." Just like what Daniel warned King Nebuchadnezzar, show mercy. In that moment, David showed mercy. And to his faith in God, he said, "Okay, vengeance is not mine, vengeance is the Lord's. I have so much faith and trust in what God is doing in me that I don't need to take action on this. This is an open door, but God didn't open it for me." So it's important. It's important to seek. I know this is a message for another time, but it's just been a good principle that God has really opened in my life. So turn away from our sins, but also to look at every situation and just seek the Lord for it. But in a more practical sense, and we find this story in Luke 3. I love how Jesus, very, very easy to understand, very practical, not easy to do. You can easily take in and understand what he's saying, but you'll see it with me. And the crowds asked him, "What then shall I do?" And he answered, "Who has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." And the soldiers asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusations, and be content with your wages." So today, when we ask God, when we ask Holy Spirit, "What shall we do?" And you see, Brother Ephraim, in that moment, he said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And he showed him, and he answered, and he listened. And he was blessed. He was more blessed than... And that's what happens in our life. When we hear God and we listen and we follow through, when we add to our faith goodness, practical goodness, sharing your tunic, opening up your home, praying for somebody, encouraging somebody with a word. And I found this to be true. My wife, she encourages me all the time because sometimes I'll think about people and I go, "Oh, I wonder how this person's feeling." So my wife always encourages me, call them, text them. Because who knows, God has placed them in your heart and in your mind for who knows what reason. But if God has placed you in their heart, it might be a good idea to call. And sometimes I still don't. I'm like, "Eh, I don't want to bother them." But my wife, she's so good. She always reminds me, "No, just do it. Just reach out." Because doing good things in our walk, in our walk of faith in this life that we live, doing good things, it's like spiritual creatine, yeah? We go pray, we read the word, and that's like working out at the gym, you know? I equate that to lifting weights. And then Peter says, well, add to your faith, do good things. Be a man of virtue, man of character. And that's one of the things that I'm very excited for this men's huddle. Because, man, we need more men of good character. We made more men of godly character. And so if you're thinking about attending, if that just tugged on your heart, I just want to encourage you, because I'm trying to encourage myself right now, because I've already said, yeah, I'm going to go. Tom, yeah, I'll be there. I'll just say it in front of everybody so it holds me accountable. Because we need things like that. We need things like, we need times to come together, and that's part of the good that we're doing. You think to yourself, well, what can I do? What good can I do to add on to my faith? That's a perfect example. It would be good for you to sign up for the men's huddle and join. Yeah. It would be good to sign up for, if you're new to the faith and you just recently said yes to Christ, it's good to sign up for the baptism, because that's the next step in your walk of faith. Or maybe it could be something as simple as signing up to bring a dish to share for Fellowship Sunday. It doesn't take much, but it does take something out of you. It does take energy from you. It takes intention. And for me, it takes a little bit of discipline. Even till today, it takes a little bit of discipline to say, I'm not going to head this way and out the door and just go home, but I'm going to head this way and make an effort to speak and to get to know people. These good things add on to our faith. So what else could we do? What else could we add on? Well, for starters, if you're not giving your tithe already, that's a good start, I can tell you. You want to learn to trust the Lord more and more? The word, God says, test me in this and in giving your tithes and offering. Because I tell you, the more that you give, the more that you find your heart open up to the Lord. And this is one of my mile markers. Once upon a time when we would give, I would see our statement, our annual giving, and I would go, whoa, I could have bought, insert, next line. Possibly a red truck, who knows? But you know, in the recent years, this year especially, in seeing our annual giving, and this is 100% the Lord moving and changing me in my life, I look at our annual giving and I go, praise God. Cece and I look at each other and we say, praise God. This isn't a reflection of what has come out of our bank. It's not money that we've lost, no. It's a reflection of how good God has been to us over this year. That's how we see it. So keep those mile markers in your heart, because they encourage you to keep pressing forward. And when in doubt, we're not going to talk about the rest of the qualities today. But I want to encourage you, because the next list of everything is really good. But circling back to our main text, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We could reframe it, you know, for the purpose of our message today. For if goodness, if virtue, if integrity are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful. In the next one, for whoever lacks these qualities, so we can reframe this today. If you lack goodness, if you lack virtue, if you lack good character, if you lack integrity, then I'm sorry to say, then you are so nearsighted to have forgotten that we've been saved and cleansed. I think I meant to read this verse earlier, but in James chapter, I think it's in James chapter 1, he just talks about, you know, it's looking at a mirror and then walking away and forgetting what you look like. You know, this is the same exact thing. But if we hold goodness, virtue, integrity close, it'll keep us from that. And therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and your election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Confirm your calling and election. And that's what we're doing with the mile markers. You know, we see it, we see the changes happen, say yes. But even more on top of that, to do goodness, to be a man of good character, of virtue, of integrity. It's pretty small, I'm sorry, but it's a little image. I tried my hand at making my own designs. I use this thing called Canva. Anyways, it makes it super easy, but this is me just trying to be a little creative, you know, put the words together. Should have known that the words are going to be a little small. But this is everything there that you're going to find in that verse, and I do want to encourage you guys today. We're only talking about to your faith add virtue, but I want to encourage you guys, go into the word and look at the rest of it, because to virtue, and then you add knowledge, to all knowledge, self-control, godliness, to godliness, brotherly affection, and to brotherly affection, love. Such a beautiful set of qualities that Peter had listed there for us, and very practical to apply to your life today. So if you're saying, well, I'm struggling with my faith, I don't feel it. Remember one of Pastor's examples a few weeks back about the woman who wanted to file for divorce with her husband, and the counselor said, well, you know, the way you can really stick it to him is if you just start praising him, start appreciating him, doing all these things. And then at the end of it, turns out she realized that she loved him after all. Because from what I've learned and what I'm learning too is that actions, when we start with our actions, the emotions behind it are soon to follow. So even if you don't feel like being good, if you don't feel like being a man of integrity in those moments when no one's looking, just know the discipline and the fortitude to say, no, I'm going to hang on. I'm going to stay strong. And those things reinforce our faith and brings us to a higher level of knowing God. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you for just reminding us that in this walk with you and building our faith, Lord, that we can do something practical. Not everything is this big cryptic message of trying to decipher this or understand that. But Lord, you said right here in your word something very practical to us today, that to our faith that we add goodness. God, to our faith that we add this charity, Lord, however it expresses itself in our lives, Lord, however this goodness expresses itself, Lord, I pray, Father, that all of us will start to think about it, to have it in the forefront of our minds, to go, Lord, I don't normally do this, but I want to act and I want to be gracious towards somebody. I want to bless somebody. Or Lord, I think you're wanting me to go down this road instead of this road today. To present opportunities to be good, to do good. So God, thank you. And God, the more good that we do, Lord, I know, Father, the more that we will get to know your heart. God says, a lot of times, Lord God, and I ask for your forgiveness for this, Lord, but a lot of times when you look around and you see people on the streets, you don't think about those things. But Lord, to you, all of these folks are precious children. All of these folks are precious children to your eyes that you love each and every single one, Lord. So, Lord, I just want to grow more in this relationship with you, to know you more, to reflect your heart more and more each day. I pray that over all of us, that we may reflect your heart, Jesus. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, let's stand and I just want to pronounce this blessing. Thank you. Praise God. So just a quick blessing over everybody today. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you. Thank you, River Church, online family. Thank you. And there is prayer available here at the front. So please, if you'd like to stay for prayer, and coffee in the back.